Circus of Death. The Committee for the Revolution had taken over the onion-domed Orthodox Cathedral in Plotsk, making it the headquarters of the Commissariat for Extropian Ideology. All those who rejected the doctrine of revolutionary optimization and refused to flee the town were dragged before the tribunal and instructed boringly and at length about the nature of their misdemeanor. Then they were shot, minds mapped and uploaded into the festival, and sentenced to corrective labor, usually all at once. There weren't many of them. For the most part, the population had fled into the wilderness, transcended or happily adopted the revolutionary cause. Sister Seventh's hut, spun from local memories of myth and legend uploaded into the noosphere of the festival, squatted in the courtyard outside the Revolutionary Commissariat and defecated massively. Presently, the house stood and ambled in the direction of the cherry trees that fringed the square. It was hungry, and the bishop's liking for cherry blossom wouldn't stop at eating. Sister Seventh wrinkled her snout with displeasure and ambled indoors. The floor of the church was full of plaintiffs, queuing to demand this or appeal that. They stood before a kitchen table parked in the middle of the nave, behind which sat half a dozen bored-looking revolutionary functionaries. The small, frenetic human called Rubinstein waved his arms and exhorted their chairman, who was so heavily augmented with mechanical add-ons that he clanked when he walked. The subject of the exhortation seemed to be something to do with the need to reverse the previous policy of destroying the artistically illiterate. True, that priority rated low in the estimates of the critics. After all, you can't win an argument over aesthetics with a corpse. But Rubinstein's willingness to change his mind after only a day or two in her company didn't commend his artistic integrity to her. These curious lumpen humans were so impossibly gnomic in their utterances, so lacking in consistency, that sometimes she despaired of understanding their underlying aesthetic. Sister Seventh lost herself for a while in the flux of knowledge from the festival. It let a filtered feed of its awareness escape, titillating the critic colony in orbit, who relayed choice tidbits her way. The festival propagated by Star Wisp, that much was true. It also relied on causal channels to relay its discoveries home. Now, great Higgs boson factories were taking shape in the rings of machinery orbiting Sputnik, icy gas and dust congealing into beat-wave particle accelerators on the edge of planetary space. Thousands of huge fusion reactors were coming on stream, each pumping out enough energy to run a continental civilization. The first batch of new Star Wisps was nearing readiness, and they had a voracious appetite, a ton of stabilized antimatter each. Then there were the causal channels, petabytes and exabytes of entangled particles to manufacture and laboriously, non-observationally, separate into matching batches. The first Star Wisps would soon take on their payloads, point their stubby noses at the void, and accelerate at nearly 500,000 Gs, sitting atop the neutral particle beams emitted by vast launch engines in high orbit above Roshard's world. Their primary destinations were the last two stops on the festival's route, to deliver fresh channels and a detailed report on the current visit. Their other destinations? Well, the festival had been encamped for 3 months. Soon, the traders would arrive. Traders followed the festival everywhere. A self-replicating natural source of causal channels, the festival laid down avenues of communication, opening up new civilizations to trade. Civilizations which, in the wake of a visitation, were usually too culture-shocked to object to the trader's abstraction of the huge structures the festival had constructed and abandoned for its own purposes.